him we live, in him we move, in him we have our very being. Can't breathe without him, can't move without him, can't live without him. Oh, where shall I go from your presence? Ah, God, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I ascend to the uttermost parts of the earth and take on wings, you are there. You are there. Thank you for being everywhere. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for being in me. Thank you for being around me. Thank you for holding me up by the power of your word. Glory. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Woo, glory. Glory, 2 Timothy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shit, I don't know what God wants to do today. Hallelujah. He wants to do something in your midst today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. If you'll allow me to be topical today, I'm going to jump around and use several scriptures. 2 Timothy 2, 2. I'm not going to get there just yet or read that just yet. Let me read that last. Let's read 1 Peter 4 and 19 first. Hallelujah. First Peter 4 and 19. It says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. Say that again. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God, commit their souls to him, doing good, as to a faithful creator. Somebody say he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's worthy of our commitment. Let's look at Revelation 2 and 10. Revelation 2 and 10. It's one verse of scripture there. Revelation 2 and 10 reads, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you. And you will have affliction for 10 days. Be faithful unto death. Somebody say, be faithful.
Be faithful.
Unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Lastly, let's look at 2 Timothy 2 and 2. Hallelujah. We know this is the Apostle Paul writing to his son in ministry, his son in the gospel, Timothy. And he says, in what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men. Somebody say, commit to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. So far, the reading of the scripture. And maybe you're already hearing just a little bit of a theme in the scriptures that we've read. But I'm going to speak from the topic, maturing in commitment. maturing in commitment. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are already present. You're already manifest in this place. We thank you, though, that even when we can't feel you, you're here. And you're in us and you're with us. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me minister the word. I ask you that you would help me speak the oracles of God. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Download the mind of heaven into my mind. But not only that, Holy Spirit, you're not only the God that gives us revelation and power in preaching. You are the Spirit that causes the word to be planted in the hearts of God's people. I pray, oh God, that your word would find good ground, that you would minister your word in their hearts and in their minds. Now we come against every foul spirit, every demonic spirit, every opposing spirit to the word of God. And we pray, Father, that the word would not be hindered, but that it would accomplish that for which you've sent it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen, amen. I am just excited about what God is doing. For those of you that were in the 9 a.m., how many of you enjoyed the word? Amen. It was an awesome word, a good word, and it was really in alignment even with some of the things that we are going to minister today in your hearing, or in this service in your hearing. Hallelujah. One of the greatest characteristics of a mature person in Christ is one who has developed the characteristic of commitment. Commitment may also be known as faithfulness. Commitment is one who is able to keep and carry out their word. Commitment is one who is committed is one who is able to keep and carry out their word. They are faithful to their word. When we exhibit this characteristic, we show another dominant trait as it relates to the character of the Father. How many of you know that God is faithful? God is faithful. Now you say, Apostle Sean, how can you say God is faithful when I have prayed and I have asked God for things that God didn't do? How can you say with all certainty that God is faithful? Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man who lies. God is not a man who lies. Or a son of man who changes his mind. Does he speak and not act? Or promise and not fulfill? Holy Spirit. So we find here the characteristics of God's faithfulness and fidelity to his own word. God is not faithful because he answers or does not answer prayer. Oh, God. Let me mess with your theology. I said God is not faithful because he does or does not meet every prayer request. God is faithful because whatever he says. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Whatever he says, he does. Because you need him to do it doesn't mean he has to do it. Which doesn't make him unfaithful. Y'all don't hear me. Because God's faithfulness and his obligation is to his word. Not mine. Not yours. So God isn't faithful or not faithful as a result of answered or unanswered prayer. Because how many of you know sometimes we can pray things that are outside of the will of God? You can pray things that are Bible, but not the will of God for you. See, that's why you can't just grab a scripture and apply it and say, oh, that's what I need. And no, you got to search the will of God for your life. And this is what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. Within the Word of God, we're able to find scripture that is applicable to what God has called us to do. Touch somebody and tell him he's faithful. He's faithful. That's one of his characteristics. He is completely faithful and completely committed to his word. He doesn't promise anything that he doesn't make good. If God makes a promise, even if your generation doesn't live to see it, you can rest assured that it will come to pass, even if it's in the next. Y'all don't hear me. Even if it's in the next generation. God's word does not fall to the ground. Nothing God speaks returns to him void. But it accomplishes that for which it has been sent. Come on, somebody, and say, you serve a faithful God. Oh, you might as well wake up because I didn't come not to preach. You serve a faithful God, my God. He is a God of commitment. See, this is why God, whenever he engaged men, he didn't simply engage man in a cursory way or engage men in an ancillary way. He engaged men in a very direct and purposeful way, and he called it covenant. See, God could have simply stood on the merit of his own word and his own character, knowing himself and knowing that he was going to do what he said he was going to do, and he could have left it at that. But for the benefit of us, for the benefit of mankind, who we tend not to trust, we've been burned, y'all. Come on, somebody. We've been burned by people. We've had people say that they were going to do something and they didn't do it. We've had people make promises to us that they broke. We have people say, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If you ever need me, all you, and you call and it goes to voicemail. But you said if I ever needed you, you would be right there. And our hearts were broken and our expectations were let down. And so now we get into a world where contract is a necessity because people's word doesn't mean anything. People always running their mouth. People always promising stuff. People always the first one to volunteer without even counting the cost. You're making a commitment, you didn't even look at your calendar. God said, I'm going to give you, I'm so serious. He said, it's not because I have to convince myself. It's not because I'm at risk of breaking my word. He says, but I want to show you how committed I am. Whew. He says, I'm so committed, I will give you a covenant. I'll make a covenant with you. I will give you a contract that I will do exactly what I said I'm going to do. And this contract will stand up in the court of eternity. That's a contract. In my walk with God, one of the things that I can attest to is God has never let down his end of the bargain. Never. Never. I may have had perception issues. I might have prayed amiss. I might have thought it was the will of God and it wasn't the will of God. But God has never let down his end of the bargain. The only one that let it down was me. God never has broken a commitment and a promise he has made to me, ever. Come on, look back over your life and look at the faithfulness of God in light of his word. Are you with me? Like our Father, is he, wait, let me just station identification for just a moment. Is he your Father today? Come on, let me see the hands of that. I just want to make sure I'm talking to your blood washed, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled believer. He is your Father. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right crowd. Like our Father, it's important that we take on this mindset and that we don't make promises that we either can't or don't intend on keeping. See, here's the trick. We tend to make emotional commitments. Huh? You know, like when you first come into a new relationship and you make all these promises, girl, I will never hurt you. I will treat you like the queen. Oh, y'all know y'all start melting when they start talking that yang yang, that little game. I'll treat you like a queen. You won't have to lift a finger. You won't have to do nothing. And then come to find out, you can't keep a job. Can't treat me like a queen if you ain't got no money. Hello? Commitments, though. Like, boo, I will cook for you. I will clean for you. I will iron your clothes. Commitment. Oh, come on now. Because we're in the feel-good stage. Yeah. Then we stand at the altar. God forbid if we make it to the altar. We stand at the altar and we say, I promise to cherish you, love you, and obey you. We say that one. And you, in sickness and in health, better or for worse, richer. Both now and forever, till death. And I'm telling you, we mean it too. And some of us get fancy. See, what I liked about Kendall wrote vows. Kendall wrote, y'all need to just one day, we're just going to break the projector out. We're going to bring the, because y'all got to see, like, they was like, okay, you know, that's good, but we got some special stuff we're going to write. And I'm telling you, and we write all these wonderful, glowing promises to the person because we're in the moment. We feel good. We're certain. They haven't hurt our feelings yet.
Right.
They haven't disappointed us yet. They haven't broken our hearts yet.
Yeah,
we make commitments. We make, somebody say emotional. Commitments. Emotional commitments. We sit in services. We sat in services like these and we heard the word of God. And I've never heard the word like that before. It just ministered to my very soul. Didn't our hearts burn when the word of God, he's the best preacher I've ever heard in my whole entire life. And I've got to join this church. I feel great. I've never felt this great before. I want to be a part of this church.
And we come to the altar with our family and we're like, I want to join here because it feels great here. And we make commitments. And the usher hasn't offended us yet. And we haven't been rejected from people that we key in on that we want to get to know yet. And we haven't had people not call us back yet. And we haven't had people see us struggling and not help us yet. Oh, here's the big one. We just talked about this. We haven't been corrected yet. You know, by that same preacher who spoke to your soul and laid you out in the flow and the power of God was on you so strong, and he was such a man of God, such a woman of God, till he corrects you. We commit to things emotionally. When we're on an emotional high. Let me just help you. Never make commitments in an emotionally high moment. See, this is why a lot of us got in trouble in relationships that we weren't supposed to be in. Because it was emotionally high. And you committed some things. Committed some sin. No, I'm joking. No, I'm not joking. Committed some sins and made some promises. Gave your body up. Because we make commitments emotionally. Never make commitments when you are in an emotionally elevated moment. A commitment is a serious thing. I said a commitment is a serious thing. It is a serious thing to God.
Amen.
It's a serious thing to God. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says, better that you do not vow.
Amen.
I'll read it again. Better that you do not vow than that you vow and not fulfill it. Jesus. See, and some of us people pleasers get in trouble with this one. Because, again, we are making commitments in an attempt to be liked. We are making commitments in an attempt to be accepted. Not because we understand the full weight of what it means to be a committed person. Yeah. It's serious to God. I just want you to look at somebody and say, commitment is serious to God. Many of us, we talk about, how many of you got different ways to lie? L-I-E. We got different ways to lie. You can outright tell an egregious, you know. It's like, what do you do for a living? I'm the president of the United States. Like, you just lie, right? My name is Barack Obama. You just lie. You can omit. So somebody can ask you something and you can just omit the truth. That's also a lie. But do you know to make a commitment and break it is also lying? How many promises have you broken?
How many things have you committed to do that you know you don't carry out? Whether it's in the house of God, whether it's in your family, whether it's with your friends, whether it's on the workplace, the arena doesn't matter. It's the commitment that matters. Do you know that committed people have doors open for them that don't open for others? Do you know committed people are seen as being the better friend? Do you know that committed people are the best people to put in leadership positions? Do you know that committed people are the best people to marry? Just look at your neighbor. I don't want you to answer your neighbor. I just want you to look at your neighbor, and I just want you to help them think this through. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you a committed person? Now, this is rough because we all have to examine ourselves here. We all have to look at our own lives here. We all have to say, okay, God, turn the searchlight on. How many of us will be honest that we have broken commitments? Yeah. How many of us will take a step further and be honest and say, we regularly break commitments. We regularly make promises and commitments and vows, and we volunteer for things that we regularly break and neglect. This is one of the reasons why personally I break my neck to keep a thing I schedule. Even if I'm tired, even if I legitimately need to get out of it, want to get out of it, it's legit. Because this principle is important. It's important to be a person of your word. To not be a person of your word, particularly if this is a habitual way of living, is to not be like Christ. For Christ was the express image of the Father in the earth, and he did everything he said he was going to do. You know what? And that's why I'm not worried about him coming back. Hello? I'm not worried about whether Jesus is going to come back or not. Do you know why? Because he said he was. And every record we have of everything Jesus said he was going to do, he did it. Come on. So I don't even worry about, Lord, are you going to come? No, he's come. You know why? Because he said it. You know why? Because he's faithful. You know why? Because he's committed to his own word. To live other than this is a character flaw. It's a character flaw. Not only is it a character flaw, it is a sign of immaturity and undependability. You got to be careful when you make commitments. It's better to make a vow. It's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. Let's go deeper. So what does commitment really mean? Let's just textbook it for a minute. Let's Let's look at what Webster says. I have three definitions here for commitment. It's a promise to do or give something. I said it's a promise to do or give something. It's a promise to be loyal to someone or something. It's the attitude of someone who works very hard to do or support something. I'll give them again. It's a promise to do or give something. Commitment is a promise to be loyal to someone or something. Commitment is the attitude of someone who works very hard to do or support something. Somebody say commitment. Commitment. Do you know that we will never build this ministry without this vital characteristic being resident in the people that are connected to this church? Do you know the kingdom of God will not be advanced without this vital characteristic being in our DNA? Do you know you will never read or pray or do anything if you don't have? You will never share the gospel with anyone if you're not committed. You will not love. You will not walk in unity. You will not do any of these things if you are not committed. You will not stay married. You will not keep a friendship. You will not keep a job if you are not a committed person. Commitment is the very fiber that holds relationships together of every kind. I said of every kind. I said of every kind. Commitment is the glue. And God desires commitment from us. I want to talk about four different ways we can mature in commitment. The first probably doesn't apply to the people in this room, but maybe it applies to somebody watching. The first way is to commit your life to the Lord. How do you do this? You simply do this by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and accepting the sacrifice of his blood that he shed. That is the ground level of biblical commitment. That's where you begin. That's the entryway. That's the doorway of commitment. We start with committing our lives to Jesus Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Number two, because we're maturing in this, then we commit our ways. Understand that you can give your life to Christ but not commit your ways to Christ. Many of us have no issue committing our life to Christ or giving our life to Christ or accepting Christ in our life, however you want to term it, whatever you want to put it. We don't have an issue with that. We don't have an issue with fire insurance. Who wants to go to hell? No one. Atheists don't want to go to hell. Agnostics don't want to go to hell. Buddhists don't want to go to hell. Muslims don't want to go. Nobody wants to go to hell. So we don't have a problem with the fire insurance part of salvation. Woo, I'm going to heaven. Oh, some glad morning when this life is over. Hopefully a long, long time from now. I'll fly away. Have no problem with that. Have no problem with the fire insurance. Have no problem with the blessings, the blessing of the Lord. Make it rich and add of no sorrow. I can go to the Lord in prayer. I can call him up when I need it. Call him up and tell him what you want. Who wrote that? Call him up and tell him what you want. We have no problem with that. We start to struggle in commitment, however, when now he says, I've given you a gift that you receive by faith. Now that you have this gift, I want you to commit your ways. Psalms 37 and 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Commit your way. Have you committed your ways to the Lord yet? Or have you just given him your life? Can the Lord get in your business? Can the Lord change how you think? Can the Lord change how you move? Can the Lord change your attitudes, your dispositions, and your mindset? Are you committed enough to the Lord to give him your ways for his ways? I would suggest to you, The hardest part about serving the Lord is this part. You know why? The scripture says it very plain. There's a way that seems right to a man. We all have ideas. We all have thoughts. We all have things we want to do, things we think we should do. We all have ways of handling things, ways of moving. We all have a way that seems right to us. We got a way that seems right. We have a way that feels right. But how many of you know that we walk by faith and not by? My God. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't determine our path. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. We are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Have you commit your ways to the Lord? See, if you're going to mature in commitment, you have to come away from the door. You have to come away from the gate, and you have to come into the room. Come on, just look at somebody and tell them, come on in the room. Come on. Come on, come on, come on in the room. Come on in the room. It ain't that bad in there. It really isn't. It really, God's ways are best. God's ways just aren't better. God, help me. I said God's ways just aren't better. God's ways are best. God's ways bring life. God's ways bring peace. God's ways bring joy. God's ways bring prosperity. God's, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. His ways are not just better. It's not just a choice among choices. His way is best. It's best.
best. And any time I have not lived according to his way, it always brought calamity. Anytime I didn't live according to his way, it always brought negative consequences. So I'm like, okay, God, I'm done arguing about this. Now what you got to do is what David said. David said, teach me. Teach me your ways. Teach me your statutes. Show me how to live this thing. Show me how to walk. Show me your mind. Show me your heart. Teach me your ways. David, woo. David made a commitment in that moment to the ways of God. I believe that David looked at his life. He looked at the mess he made with Bathsheba. He looked at killing the woman's husband. He looked at all of these things that he had done. And he said, okay, God, I tried this on my own. He said, and it has not worked out. And I brought calamity upon myself, calamity upon my family, calamity upon the people of Israel. Teach me your ways. I don't keep ending up in these messes. Jesus, Jesus. Number three, commit your work to the Lord. This is how you mature in commitment. We start with our salvation. We give our soul to him. Then we commit our ways to him. Then we commit our work to him. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord. Listen, and your plans will be established. Ooh. Have you let God in your work yet? Have you let God in your five-year plan? Have you let God in your career choices? Have you let God tell you where to go to school, if to go to school, when to go to school? Have you committed your work to the Lord? Have you let God tell you, is that the right job? Is that the right time? Is that the right company? Have you committed your work to the Lord? It says, if you commit your work to the Lord, it says, and your plans will be established. Why will your plans will be established? Because God will establish them through guiding your work. Do you want your life to be productive, truly productive? Commit your work to the Lord. You want to get ahead? You want to make some ground? You want to make some leeway? You can keep doing it the way you're doing it. You can keep chasing the dollar, or you can commit your work to the Lord. Number four, commit yourself to the work. Commit yourself to the work. Notice I put that number four. Because you cannot commit yourself to the work if you have not given him your life. You cannot commit yourself to the work if you've not committed your ways. And you cannot commit yourself to the work if you've not committed your work. See, the problem is, for many of us, our work overrides and supersedes his work. We get into situations and careers and circumstances that prevent us from doing the work. You can't commit yourself to the work of the Lord if you don't have that as a priority in your pecking order. Do you know the Lord knows what you need before you ask him? Do you know the Lord know you need to take care of your family and you need to eat? No, 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 seriously. Do you know that? Do you know the Lord is not sitting in heaven like unaware, detached, uninvolved? He knows what you need. He knows what your family needs.
And he has promised. I said he has promised. He has promised to make provision for those who seek first. Matthew 6 and 33. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he says all of these things will be added unto you. But out of fear, we make carnal flesh decisions. Out of fear, we take jobs that pull us out and away from the work. We don't. You know why we don't pray? Because we're working so much. You know why we don't have no time for the presence of God, to spend time in his presence? Because we're working too much. Why? Because we're trying to chase the dollar. Why? Because we don't believe God will open up the doors he wants to open up to provide for us. So we kill ourselves. And we have nothing left. And we drag in church week after week, barely able to lift our hands to worship because we have expended all of our energy working for ourselves instead of committing our work to the Lord and saying, God, guide me. God, lead me. God, provide for me. God, connect me with the job and the employer or the career, or God, tell me the business you want me to start that will enable me to prioritize you properly. I know I'm on four. Commit yourself to the work. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. It says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful or commit to committed people. The work of the ministry is for people who have matured in commitment. I've said it. You heard me say it last week or several weeks ago, whatever. That God does not put the business of the kingdom in the hands of babies. Nor does he put the work of the kingdom in the hands of people who are not committed, not faithful to nothing or no one. Many of us are only faithful to our own interests. Many of us are only faithful to our own agendas. Many of us are only faithful to our own appetites. Many of us are only, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Many of us are only faithful to what we see benefit for us in. But you have to understand that the call of God for his body and the work of the ministry is not simply for our benefit. It is for the benefit of a dying world. That's why ministry cannot be left in the hands of babies. Because immature people, uncommitted, unfaithful people cannot execute the marching orders of the kingdom. Uncommitted people drop the ball every time. Have you dropped the ball? Is this an area God has his finger on? Is God calling you? No, I'm not asking that one. God is calling all of us to a greater level of commitment. When we talk about being like Christ, sometimes we talk in it in real ethereal, celestial terms, you know? We really high level. But what does it look like to be like Christ? I've just given you a key Christ component. Commitment. Keeping my promises.
being loyal to the things of God, to God first. Like the woman of God said this morning, if you're loyal to God, how many of you know you're going to be loyal to the things of God? But how many of you know when you're not loyal to the things of God, it's an indication you're actually not loyal to God? Because you can't say I'm loyal to God but not be loyal to the things of God. You can't say that I'm loyal to him but I'm not loyal to the things he's committed in my hands to do. Paul tells Timothy, the things that you've heard from me in front of witnesses, commit these things to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. Do you know why it's important? Why it's important for you to faithfully be committed to the word of God, the work of God, the things of God, God himself? Because when you are faithful, then you are now qualified to give that to others. Because you're not going to water it down. You're not going to put it on sale. You're not going to change the price. You're not going to say, well, I like this part and I don't like that part, so I'll just give them this part. Yeah. See, somewhere in the body of Christ, there's been a breakdown of what was given to the church. Deliver unto us, give us the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Give us that faith again. Give us that faith that faithfully defends the scriptures, that knows who Jesus is and the role of Christ in the church, that stands for righteousness and stands for holiness. Give us that faith back. Because what's being passed down, it is not a faithful rendering of the word of God. It's opinion, it's feeling, it's emotion. It's not gospel. Is the work of God in good hands, in your hands? Come on, I just want you to think about it. I just want you to be honest for a moment. I just want you to look at yourself. If you were all we had left, would the gospel be purely passed, or would it be tainted? Would it be watered down? Would it be full of compromise? Would you be too tired? Would you be too consumed with other things? Do you know why we're not to lay hands on people suddenly with regards to ordination? Because we're not to commit this work to unfaithful people. We have to give people a chance to mature. We have to give people a chance to show their level of commitment to God. How do we do that? We do that through watching our walk. We do that through watching you serve. We do that through watching how you love others and how you interact with others. We do that by hearing the things that we talk about, by seeing the things that we frequent, what we do for relief, what we do for recreation and entertainment. All of those things speak to where a person is and whether they are ready. Do they faithfully not only defend the word of God, but faithfully walk it? It's not about perfection. I told you that. This is not about, maturity is not about perfection. Maturity is about growing up. That's what this is about. It's not about being perfect. It's not that we're going to flaw, but there's a way mature people fall. There's a way mature people handle when they fall or when they get it wrong or when they offend. There's a way mature people handle it. There's a way mature people handle being offended.
Your gift is not a qualifier, Jesus, for things to be committed and entrusted to you. So what? You can preach. So what? You can prophesy. So what? You can sing. So what? If your hands are not committed, you'll drop your end of the ark. If your hands are not committed, you'll cause the weight of the house to be imbalanced. Amen. We must mature in commitment. Last point. Commitment is what will see us till the end. Commitment is what will see us till the end. Revelations 2 and 10. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison and to test you. You will have affliction for 10 days. I mean, you know that's, again, typology. Because Revelations is full of that being a prophetic book. It says, be faithful unto death. Until death. Be faithful until death. Be faithful until death. Be faithful until death. Be faithful until death. I said, be faithful until death. I said, be faithful until death. If we are faithful, if we're committed until death, then we will receive a crown of life. He who endures till the end shall be saved. I said, he who endures till the end shall be saved. I said, he who endures till the end. See, commitment will hold you when feelings are fickle. Commitment will keep you coming home when they have gotten on your last nerve. Commitment, and you fell out, and you fought, and you argued. Sometimes it ain't love that brings you back. Sometimes it's commitment. Commitment will hold you till you fix the love problem again. Commitment will keep you being a faithful friend when your friends aren't faithful.
Say that. Say that.
Commitment will keep you connected to the house God has connected you to when it's lost its luster. When you are burnt out, I'm all burnt out. Take me to the king. That's what she said. I'm all burnt out. That's the most depressing song in the whole world. But most of us lived out in the burnt out and confused state. But it's commitment that reminds you why you're here. Are you here for a title? Are you here for a position? Are you here because it's trendy? Are you here because your friend is here? Are you here? Why are you here? You here because you ain't got a ride nowhere else? Why are you here? See, if you're not committed, you won't be able to stand the test that this house has to face. Oh, it's already happening. See, here's the thing. See, y'all don't talk. So y'all don't realize you ain't the only one going through. The woman of God talked about your midnight hour. Everybody in here having a different kind of midnight hour. Okay? All
right,
don't get it twisted. Your midnight hour may not be sitting in front of a computer. but you're having one.
That's right.
Midnight hours are different. Midnight hours could be moments of doubt. Come on. See, we hear the word, oh, that ain't me. That ain't me. I ain't got no problem with pornography. I ain't got no problem with masturbation. I ain't calling no boo in the middle of the night trying to call Tyrone and have him come over. That ain't my problem. So we dismiss that kind of word like she gave this morning. But every one of us have a midnight. Every one of us question, why am I still doing this? Every one of them question, why am I still here? Every one of them, God, where are you? That's a midnight hour. It ain't just about sitting. Got to stop deflecting the word of God and let the Holy Ghost speak to you. Everybody has a midnight. Everybody has questions. I don't care how saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled you are, how many scriptures you know, how anointed you are, how many people you got saved last year. Everybody has a midnight. Everybody has questions. Everybody got problems in their relationship. Everybody got problems in their finances. Maybe you ain't have no problems this month. Your money's coming. Your miscalculation is coming. Your unexpected bill is coming that throw your whole situation off. Everybody has a midnight. It's commitment that holds you when your emotions are reeling from a circumstance and a situation in your life that you didn't expect. It's commitment that holds you when everything in you is screaming compromise, give up, and quit. It's commitment that says continue to give when the budget says I should hold my money. A commitment says, but I made a commitment to God, and I made it. And that's why a lot of people don't commit to churches. You know, people won't join a church because they don't want to give, because they know if I join a church, then that means I'm going to have to give. No, that's real.
That is true.
Join, I'm going to go. Like, I don't have to tithe there. I don't have to give there. That ain't my church.
Yeah.
Commitment. You know, we're trying to move out this building. But we can't move out without commitment. We can't get to a new ministry or new building and then start holding our giving. We can't get to a new building and be like, oh, my building went up. No, your bill went up because you got a new car that you didn't need. Your bill went up because you upgraded the phone, but your own phone worked. Your bill went up because you got a more expensive place to live when the place that you lived, you was barely paying for that. Hello?
Right. Yeah.
We got to get things in order. We got to get things in priority. We got to start prioritizing the things of God above the things of our flesh.
Yeah.
Commitment. Some of us are here, but we're not committed.
Yeah.
Some of us are saved, but we're not committed.
Yeah.
You don't have commitment. You ain't gonna make it. Why? Because the devil about to throw some stuff at you that only committed people can withstand. Only committed people continue to serve him in jail. Whether that jail is literal or figurative, it doesn't matter. A jail is a jail is a jail. Only committed people can continue to serve him with their bodies sick. Only committed people can continue to serve him when he ain't answering a prayer. Nowhere can find one. Only committed people. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Only committed people can hold on when you're lonely and you want to be held, but there's nobody to call that you can't get in trouble with. Only committed people keep serving that kind of God. Only committed people are able to see the bigger picture. Only committed people are able to see the crown on the other side of the cross. Ooh, only committed people can hold on when God keeps stripping you and stripping you and stripping you. Only committed people see the value in staying connected. Ando kosha.
Only committed people can worship with tears streaming down their face. And it's a tearing between love and anguish. But I lift my hands even with tears streaming down my face. Only committed people can worship when everything else in life says he's not worthy anymore. Only committed people can praise him when you can't trace him. Only committed people can praise him when you don't know where he is and where he's coming from. Only commitment can hold you until things get better. Are you committed today? Are you committed? Have you settled this in your heart? Have you settled your walk in your heart? Have you settled your calling in your heart? Have you settled your ministry in your heart? Have you really made up in your mind that come hell or high water, I will trust him? If I live, it's Christ. If I die, it's Cain. I will trust him. Cost me my life, my comfort, whatever it costs to follow Jesus, I'm going to pick up that cross again, that old heavy cross that I had to lay down last night to go to sleep, that heavy cross of discipline, that heavy cross of commitment, that heavy cross of prayer, that heavy cross of shutting my mouth, that heavy cross of loving my enemy. I'll pick it up again because I'm committed. I'm going to see this thing to the end. I'm going to see him and hear him say, well done. My God, we have to get back to preaching this stuff because this is the stuff that we have to hold on for. I'm not ministering for your amens. I'm not ministering for your preach pastors. I'm not ministering for you to pat me on the back. I want to hear him say, well done. You've been over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many. Your claps and your applause are insufficient for the hell that I have to go through to stand in this place. It's not enough. Your offerings aren't enough for me to put up with the hell that I have to put up with to carry the cross of Christ. I'm committed for a greater prize. I'm committed for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's why I forget those things that are behind. That's why I forget how you treated me. That's why I forget who walked away. That's why I forget all of the negative things and I press towards. I'm committed. I'm committed. I'm committed. And if you're not committed today, I'm challenging you by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you commit your life to the Lord, if you commit your ways to the Lord, if you commit your work to the Lord, if you commit yourself to the work, God will be faithful to you. He won't let you be more faithful. He won't let you sacrifice more than he can pay. Maturing in commitment. Stand on your feet. I'm done. Hallelujah. Slip your hands up. I need committed hands in the air.